Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afterthought Podcast. We are live. That's right. If you see my face, that means you're in the right place. Ooh, that rhyme right there. You're probably saying to yourselves, hold on, Joel single-handed tonight? Nah, never that. Got my guy, JV.
What's good, y'all? What's good, y'all?
Hold on. I see the Yankee attire. Let me address it. Who's that? Who you got on? Who's that?
It's the Mariano t-shirt.
Okay.
Throwback.
Okay. 42 in the building. Okay.
You know, I know we had to put on for the Bronx real quick. I know what our guest coming up a little later. I don't want to spoil that, but you know.
Yes, sir.
Gotta put on for the team. I know they're struggling this year a little bit, but you know.
We did all right last night, though.
They got to win again, man. Night,
you know
that Boston series was rough, though. But
yeah, it definitely was. we ain't talking about it because
nah, we not.
That's you know how it is. But appreciate everybody tuning in. Afterthought Podcast got my guy JP, your man Joe Hill right here. Tiff gonna be joining us in a little bit. Like he said, we got a dope guest for y'all later on. Director, filmmaker, Macho Miranda. That's right. The co-founder, actually not the co-founder, the founder of the Concourse Arts Foundation, based in the Bronx. And I'm a part of it because I am the co-founder of the Concourse Comedy Festival. So
yes.
I know he's doing very well.
Yes.
He's got a movie coming out, the Boogie movie. That's right. They are in production right now. They've already started filming, so I'm excited. He's got a lot of comedians, a lot of Instagram.
Yeah.
He's on there. So he's going to come on a little later and talk about that. But Uncle Kev is tapping in. What up, Kev?
Yeah, what's good, Uncle Kev? You know the vibes.
But we got a great show. But before we get into topics, the pro tip, whose man is this, and all the other crazy, hilarious stuff that's going on in the world, and of course our guest, how you feeling, Jay?
Bro, I'm feeling good. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's been a rough week, but I'm feeling much better. Unfortunately, I lost a friend of mine to a car accident. So before we get any further, I just want to say rest in peace to my brother Steve, aka Drive. Everybody uptown know what it is. A young life lost too soon. Salute to my whole Takeover gang. Rest in peace, Steve. I love you, my brother. But you know, outside of that, it's been good.
Same here, man. I've been, you know, I'm in New York. That's right. I am filming.
He back.
He back. I am here for an abundance of shows. That's right. I will be in Brooklyn tomorrow night, and then we have to try a theater Friday and Saturday. So we're gonna talk about that a little later on, and if you need something to do, I'm your guy. I'm your fix.
Yes.
Comedic laughs. Let's jump right into it.
Hey,
Kanye West last week had a album listening party. But it wasn't your normal listening party. He rented out
the
entire Atlanta Falcons arena down in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia.
And he built a whole football stadium.
A whole football stadium with 70,000 fans. And here's the thing, though. He didn't really perform. He just played music.
Yeah.
He walked around for 2 hours. He raised the prices on chicken nuggets and popcorn.
Yeah, bro. Did you see that? Bro, he was charging $40 for a hot dog and $50 for chicken tenders. I said, wait, chicken tenders and fries, you paying $50?
Oh, my God. And you know what's sad? Like Jay was just saying, it was $40, but normally during a regular Falcons game, you can get that stuff for $2 and $3. So, yeah.
You got a stadium where the prices be expensive. You ain't paying $50 for no damn hot dog, bro.
And that's just taking advantage. Like my aunt say from Columbus, South Carolina, now you just taking advantage of a motherfucker right now.
Yeah, that's it.
But I will say this. I'm not going to hate on it. And you tell me what you think after. I listened to, you know, black folks, you know, folks in general. Somebody filmed the entire thing, put it up on YouTube. So I didn't want to spoil it by watching the whole thing, but I definitely listened to the vibes, and I must say, I'm interested. I'm interested in what he's got coming out on the Donda album. And so that's just me. I like the vibe. It sounds like the old choir. Yay. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm excited. But what did you think of the whole hysteria? And if you got to hear any of
it, I didn't. I wasn't going to. Like, anyone who knows me knows I love Kanye. When I tell you, love Kanye, College Dropout, like, I could probably give you that album almost line for line. Like, but I still, and I know people have the ability to grow, people have the ability to change. I just have a hard time with my good conscience supporting a man who sat here and openly supported a racist, a bigot, a xenophobe, homophobic president who did not really care about the greater good for a lot of humanity.
Damn sure did it.
And he co-signed a lot of that. This is someone who we can't call this man a genius. And I understand he has his problems as well. We're gonna talk more about that. But
of course,
we can't call this man a genius, a savant, someone who prides themselves on being so thoughtful, and then makes comments as far as like slavery is a choice, openly wearing that MAGA hat, understanding what that represents.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
And now just because, as much as we know how much his mother meant, what she did, what she represented, now it's like he's very calculated. So it's right. Like he does something like this because he knows, even if I've messed up or I've seen like I've lost it, what do I have to do or what can I say to help get me back to that point in time?
And the good graces also.
And us as black folks, I'm gonna be honest with you, it's a gift and a curse. But we be the most forgiving ass people. And we sometimes have... And sometimes we have selective memory and we don't maintain the consistency the way in which I think we need to, as far as holding our own accountable when they do things.
I agree. Especially when we said that, because I remember you saying to me, like, it's funny how he trying to get us to listen to his shit. But when you was talking that Trump shit, you know, we didn't really want to listen. So I was with you on that. He's going through a lot right now, and I'm not going, you know, be insensitive to that. So I hope your brother gets some help. I hope he does get back to, the Kanye that we know, that we love.
Joe, if this is his first step in helping to get back there, I mean, you know, we don't know him personally. All we can talk about is what we've heard. We hear, his wife divorced, and no matter what people may think about them as celebrities, I don't ever want to wish anyone a divorce or any ill will. So you don't go into it, regardless of her past, regardless of his past, hoping that, you know, people go into it and then they fail.
Yeah.
Like, nah. So I hope that he's at a place in space where, if this may be some of the redemptive qualities he's trying to show, or that he's learned and may have seen the error of his ways, I hope he can like start to show and prove. It's just going to take me a little bit more time. That's all I'm saying.
Shout out to him.
I love him
for being there with the baby, though. I saw that. I saw her. She was in the stance. You know what I'm saying? She's representing, keeping the family together. Shout out to Kim for that.
Yeah. Because, look, regardless of that, you still got to raise your child together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to make sure you have good functioning relationships. You're a father, Joe. Like, you have to make sure, as parents, you are making sure you guys are on one accord, respectful of each other.
That's a fact.
Because of the relationship. And that's whether you're with the person or not. So
I agree.
I respect her for doing that.
I feel like, too, like, with everything that he's going through, I just hope, you know, I'm hearing Hove is going to be on the album. And I'm excited for that, you know. So
I like this whole thing come full circle. So salute the whole man Hove for being able to be like, you know what? We're gonna charge it to the game, we're gonna move forward because life is short.
Yeah,
look to make amends, and keep pushing forward. Like,
I agree.
All that time to be doing all that back and forth pettiness.
Speaking of in the news right now, there is an interesting TikTok that popped up on on my radar, and I want to play it for y'all.
Yeah, you know,
I'm always trying to find the funny and a lot. Shout out to everybody on Facebook, on the Twitter, on shout out to Solo Jones in the building. Appreciate you for checking in. But I want to play this for y'all.
What is the problem?
Hold on, I gotta bring it back. Hold on.
Yeah.
911 caller.
Yes. Let's grab it first.
I'm sorry, it's 4220 Winford.
Boy. 220.
What is the problem?
I'm crazy as hell.
Sir, are you in pain somewhere?
Yes, I got headaches in my leg and everything. I've been in a fucking fight.
So you want the paramedics to come and check you, correct?
You gonna send them out here, you gonna fuck around on the phone.
What apartment number are you in?
Motherfucker, what's wrong with your ass? How much schooling have you had?
What apartment number are you in?
I ain't no goddamn apartment, it's a town.
Okay, what kind of medical history do you have, sir?
I ain't no fucking doctor. I ain't no nurse either.
What's your name?
I'm Reverend Lowdown.
And what's the phone number that you're calling from?
Hey, I gave you goddamn address. That's enough.
Is your phone number 407-883-5636?
Well, you know the fucking number. Why you ask me?
Because I need to confirm it with you.
Yo, you know, we just, I don't know who that dude was, but that was a random TikTok that somebody sent me of a dude calling for some assistance and him getting upset with the operator.
I want to give a big shout out to everyone who is a first responder or operator.
Yes.
Because I have a few of those people in my family, very close to me. And what they do is a very serious job.
Oh, of course.
And what they do takes a lot of resolve. Like and the amount of details that they have to remember, code, information, the ability to stay composed while people are in the like craziest situations. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
So the mere fact that I just want to give them a shout out because while they do all those things, they also have to deal with stuff like this where I know they want to laugh as well.
Listen,
too.
That shit. My guy, Luis, from Brazil checking in.
Brazil.
Appreciate y'all staying with us. My guy Solo said, he says, when I was in the hospital, I was with the same dude. Damn. it's so much going on. Also, I want to give y'all an update. If y'all remember last week, we were doing the update on Ray O'Neal. He's the brother that represented himself in court for the murder charge. And if you remember this audio, then you know.
Who is the mass murderer?
And so
he was doing a lot of yelling. That's pretty much. He was just doing a lot of yelling, but I want to give y'all an update. He was sentenced this past week, actually. And his sentence wasn't what you think it's going to be. He got 3 life sentences plus 60 years.
That's what I thought.
I would say that again. 3 life sentences and 60 years. That means you got to die, come back, die again, come back again and die. And then when you come back, hit these 60 years for the one time. It just goes to show you when you do certain shit, it gets brought to light. Come on, man. So
He played himself.
And word to the wise, get an attorney. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like if he would have pled insanity and came out there and, you know, was doing some wild shit, banging his head on the doors and trying to fight, maybe they would. Maybe they would get him, but that's even a stretch. So
get a lawyer.
Right?
You need the one that they give you if you cannot afford one. Because as ridiculous as it sounds, when we're in these moments, and you know, regardless of what it is.
Solo said, now remember, he was not sorry for what he did, he was sorry for what he did. And he was not sorry for what he said, but he was sorry for what he said.
Exactly.
That motherfucker is
get a lawyer. Stop
terrible at defending himself.
Stop playing.
Sheesh. Oh, man. It's a lot going on in the news also. We all know what's going on with the Olympics right now.
Yeah.
And I know, Jay, we were talking about it. Simone Biles. And yeah. Naomi, let me see, make sure I'm saying it right. Osaka?
Yes. Naomi Osaka.
Yep. And Simone Biles withdrew themselves from the Olympics.
Well, only Simone. Okay. Naomi, I clear it up. Naomi had withdrawn herself from one of the major tennis tournaments, which is the French Open and Wimbledon, because she was feeling issues. She was having issues with her mental health, and she wasn't comfortable with speaking out to the public or having to face the media all the time. And she felt as though the pressure was a lot. And she chose to sit here and say she's going to focus on the Olympics.
Right.
She's Haitian and Japanese. She's playing for Team Japan. And after she took this hiatus from playing in those tournaments, and she faced a lot of scrutiny, she ended up losing her match at the Olympics, and she won't be eligible for a medal. Mind you, she's like the best. She's ranked one or two in the world. Like, she's one or two in the world. She's won multiple championships already at her age. And then I guess now with Simone Biles, and she's won multiple gold medals multiple times at the Olympics. She just withdrew from the team participation and a certain individual competition as well, because she was dealing with mental health challenges, and also saying that she was having issues not feeling like herself.
Right.
And I think that's important. And before we get into like the thought process, I want to sit here and say this about Simone. Like, she don't owe, and they don't owe people anything, and to question their greatness when they've shown on multiple occasions how great they are is ridiculous. It's asinine. People who do that, like, don't do it.
Right.
I think sometimes we give a lot of attention to the negative trolls, because I feel as though I see a lot more love and support.
I definitely see support
for them compared to other athletes.
Right.
I want to also mention that as far as they're concerned, like, they have to understand this, and this is where I'm curious your thoughts, Joe. And I think general Black Twitter people in general have to understand and draw the line that they're athletes. We both have played sports, coached sports. They're athletes.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in an era, and this era is different. This generation is different from ours, where you are expected to compete, to execute. And if you do not compete or you do not execute, sometimes you're going to be faced with certain criticisms or people addressing what happened. Now, if we are keeping it strictly between the lines, if we're talking about the game, the performance on the ring, in the mat,
right,
on the tennis field, that's one thing. But what we're not going to do, and what we're not going to say is okay, is to stigmatize or to generalize or to call them out of their name because of the fact that they are young Black
women. It is.
And they've excelled. That's where we're talking about the undertones of underlying racism, underlying sexism is not being okay. And so we have to speak up for that and protect them. But people also have to be nuanced enough and understand, for those who aren't athletes or who haven't played sports or who aren't used to criticism, that this is something that is part of the game. And as long as it is being kept to addressing what was happening as far as their performance,
right,
that is okay. It does not make someone a hater. It does not make them anything else. It does
not. Can I say this? Let me add that to that too, Jay. I didn't mean to, cut you off, but
nah, yeah.
We were saying you know, people's mental health shouldn't be up for discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't talk about my you can't talk about my diagnosis if I find out I have I have asthma, Joe. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But you don't get to talk about what I have to do.
That's a fact.
To make sure I stay as healthy as possible, and you don't have that right, or it's not up to any other doctor to tell you or discuss, or anybody to discuss.
I'll give you an example. You know, I work, you know, you work with kids and you work with the youth. I work with the Board of Ed
for
a decade plus, and sometimes you need a mental goddamn day. Hold up now. Like, I need me a fucking day. Remember the video of the little girl? She was at the daycare and she was cursing out. Listen, Linda. Remember the little black girl? And she said to her, you know what? Maybe you need a day off from around these kids. That is a real fact. As an educator, you need a mental. And I wish when I'm off, a motherfucker would be like, but where's Joe at? Mind your damn business.
And he's minding his.
I need a mental day. And I think that can be, that's something relatable, I believe, in all fields of the working field. You just need a day. And that was her day to say, I'm not doing it. And it's okay.
And when people compare it to saying, like, you know, imagine if, now here is one thing that I do think may be fascinating and it may be a double standard. I wonder, for example, the way the media is covering it, because there's an outward pouring of support, which is extremely important. And I'm glad they're getting that.
That's a fact.
I want to just throw this what if question to you and get you.
Throw it out there. Since we're talking about it.
If Kyrie Irving, who has had his issues in the NBA finals, were to sit here and say, it's a 2-2 series, Nets is in the finals, right before game 5, M. Barclays.
Yep.
Kyrie no shows. And then says, I needed this moment because mentally I was not in a good place. How does the New York media social media?
I'm gonna tell you what the New York media, I'm gonna stop you right there.
Handle him.
The New York media is gonna be like, we don't give a goddamn because it's the finals. Now that's just in a perfect world. But that is a great devil's advocate to honestly seeing how the media would take it, how fans would take it, how his teammates would take it.
You know what I mean?
What they call the A-tabs. You know what I'm saying?
Whereas what Simone did, I think, is not only courageous, but was smart. When you know what you're capable of and you know how great you are, when you are not on your game and you know everyone looks at you differently, and you have teammates that you trust.
Right.
I love seeing her supporting and elevating her teammates. And despite her not being there, they got a silver medal.
Exactly.
As far as the team is concerned.
And she said that.
That's not even letting your team down.
That's a fact.
That's a silver medal. It ain't like they didn't place or didn't get anything because she couldn't do it. They got a silver medal. So that's also her acknowledging and understanding what her teammates are capable of, understanding that while I may not have it, I'm trusting and I'm sure that there are enough capable people and my teammates are more than capable.
More than capable, exactly.
And at the end of the day, she's still an athlete. She wants to compete. I don't think people purposely say, I did all this work, I done flew all the way to Tokyo.
To Tokyo to do this work, right?
Just be awesome, like, nah, I don't feel like it no more. Like,
she was like, Simone was like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, but I think what they're doing is ushering in a new era and a level of awareness that may help change the game for future generations.
Yes, sir.
And I think it always, like, each generation has something to contribute.
Yep.
I think this generation is going to now make it more comfortable for us to speak up and speak out of these things.
Yeah.
And as they're doing that, it's gonna help future generations realize that, yo, it ain't a big it, yo. If your
mental health is real, we gotta stop. You know, we joke around a lot of, you know, especially as comics, we make fun of those, but it's a real thing. Shout out to everybody on the Facebook right now, Cousin Paul, Jessica. What up? What up, everybody?
Appreciate it. Definitely
appreciate everybody on the Facebook. If you want to watch us, go to my Facebook, Joe Hill. You can watch the show. It's the weekend is almost here, y'all. So why not give you a little update on what's happening? That's right. Why not? What are you doing this weekend? You ain't got shit else to do. I'm gonna need y'all to get right with me. Friday, I'm in Brooklyn. I'm at Brooklyn Firefly. Matter of fact, I'm gonna just throw it on the screen because that's what we can do right there. That's what we doing right there. There we go. There we go. Thursday, I'm in
Thursday.
Brooklyn.
I'm about to be like Thursday, brother.
Thursday, I'm in Brooklyn. Make sure I got it right. Brooklyn.
Tomorrow night,
pull up. It's a great lineup. My guy, Sharif Johnson. That's right. Sharif Johnson just landed his first official television show, Power 3. He was on there. Clap it up. Give that brother some flowers. You see him
right there. Props to Sharif, man.
Shout out to him representing Jersey. I'm going to be rocking with him, Tony Loud, and a few others. And then you see right there on Friday, we at the Triad Theater, baby. Marcus Banks. Shout out to my guy Banks representing for New Rochelle. Amazing two shows, 7 and a 9:30. Come on now. You don't want to miss that. Y'all ain't doing shit. You in New York City. And of course, the industry comedy series Thinking Out Loud is back. Saturday, 9:30. Got my guy Cousin Paul on the check-in. What up, y'all? What up? Pull up on the Triad. Come on, Saturday.
Word.
Come on, you see it.
My man K Smith on the fly. We gotta say congrats to your brother, man. Salute
yes,
to
us. And I was gonna save the best for last. Shout out to my brother and his lovely wife on their new addition to the family.
Congrats to the Smith family. Congrats to this whole Smith family, man.
So make sure you show that brother some love. Come on out.
Yo.
You know, this show is different. It's not your typical industry show.
And shout out to Whitney, too, man. She did a great job. Comics.
Yeah.
All the comics. Yo, Whitney, the homie, man. She did a great job at your special, man.
Oh, she hosted the hell out of
that. She hosted the hell out of that show, man.
So
pull up on us. We was laughing. When my co-host here, you know, when everything is situated and y'all see it, y'all going to be laughing y'all asses off.
August 25th, we're going to premiere that on BingeWave.com. For those that missed my special, I'm premiering it one night only.
Oh, that's the day?
Huh?
Say that again. I'm saying when and you dropping
that. I mean, since we talking about it, August, look, I'll pull it up on the screen for you. That's how serious it is. August 25th is right there. Don't worry about the rest. You see it, the art and not giving a fuck. Stand up.
Live
in concert. You can go to my website. It's going to be premiering on bingewave.com one night only. And I'm looking forward to that. So,
and it's on Wednesday. So stay tuned. You're going to get the special. You're going to get the after door. It's going to be popping.
And I got another surprise, but I ain't going to drop that yet. We got another surprise happening on the same day as well, too. But I ain't going to let everybody know that.
Yo, you got to stay tuned for that. Did you see this, though, since we're on some more funnier, lighter stuff? Did you hear about Ashton Kutcher?
No.
Bruh.
What happened? We got Macho Miranda getting ready to check in. I see him. He's getting ready. He'll be with us in a few. But go ahead. You said Ashton Kutcher. I see Tip is in the building. Okay. Oh, wait. So hold on. Ashton Kutcher, what happened to him?
Real quick before we transition. Yo, this guy goes on a podcast with, I want to say, the girl Mila Kunis or whatever.
Okay.
And these people was out here talking about how they don't wash their bodies every day. I'm going to find a clip and send it to you.
That's white folks?
White folks?
I hate to do it because that's not every white person. I'm not going to say every white person. But if you took a survey of, on the average white folks, how many showers you took in a week, they would have a high number for not taking shots. I mean, it's actually a study out there.
You mean it would be a lower number? Like, yeah, yeah. 7 days in a week.
You know what I mean.
You think that they're going to be under 7 showers in a week,
listen,
bro.
I come from a place, and you know, where you got to get your ass in that shower in the morning. And when you come from being outside in them street clothes,
yeah,
get your ass wash your in the ass shower. Up. I don't understand that shit. You know. Oh man, so
that's what
getting ready.
Yes. Make sure you,
out to everybody on the check in. I don't know, man. I think. If you ain't taking showers out here, you know, that's some mental shit right there.
But you know why I'm not surprised though? It's because with all of this COVID stuff happening, why is it that so many people had to remind people that they need to wash their hands?
You shouldn't be reminded. Why
we have to know?
There's only one age group. There's two actually. That need to be reminded to get your ass in the shower, and that's little children and old people. That's it. If you, because they physically
and even can't. Older folk don't feel, unless, and I'm talking about people
who Tip?
Ain't mentally there. Thank you, Tip.
Can you hear us? Tip is in the building.
What's up, y'all?
Don't people just we gonna hop right into it?
I know, right? No, so
I'm talking about dirty white people. I hear.
Yes. Like we need to make sure that
yes, you didn't have to say it like that. Yeah, we were conversing about dirty white people.
This goes back to their history. So I mean, why is anybody surprised?
That's true. I mean,
but COVID. They already telling you wash your hands. Like,
and it's a new Delta. It's a new Delta variant. I don't know if you know those it's called the Delta variant, and it's like
dangerous.
The COVID. It's like the COVID, and it stops in Atlanta and Miami.
And in Vegas, too.
And fucking Vegas. It's the
I heard they got a residency in Vegas.
Where does it stop?
It stops in Atlanta, Miami, and Vegas only. Those three places. Okay. That's why it's called Delta. It's going to be called the Southwest variant next week. The fuck out of it. All right, so we got a guest getting ready to come in here right now. He's in the building. Let me make sure is he good? Is he ready? Let me check with the producers. Is he ready? I see him, but I don't know if he's ready. So
shout out to the super producer.
The super producer, who's the invisible super producer. He's like, nah, he's not ready yet. Not ready yet. But I will intro him and I got to work with this brother for a long time. A few years ago, you know, he's also worked in the education field. A filmmaker and a director. I say both because the brother is super talented. The brother has content that he's created with the youth and just teaching them how to create different types of content. So taking it into the education field is big for me. You know, working with not only just vendors, but bringing outsiders in to teach our kids in the community dope shit like that. So a few years ago, Macho Miranda founded the Concourse Arts Foundation. Now, the Concourse Arts Foundation is kind of like, if I could mirror it, you know, when you watch and you know, television, it's things like the Tribeca, the one word, or Sundance, you know, that one name that kind of represents, and that's what we have in the Bronx. So he founded this amazing foundation, and it embodies so much from comedy, film, food, poetry, yeah. The arts. It's heavy in the Bronx. Have been featured on the news, Pix 11. Like I said, we started the Concourse Comedy Festival that we did last year and due to the COVID. But I'm just, this brother is doing so much and he's got a movie coming out. He's got a movie about the fucking Bronx.
Yes.
And it's called The Boogie. JP already know. He's like, yeah.
It's going to be funny. It's going to be funny because...
It's a comedy.
You got so many dope Bronx local people. Like, I'm sorry, like, he puts on for the BX. So yeah. I got to show him the love he deserves. And, he's including a lot of people who you be laughing at on Instagram. A lot of people whose comedy shows you done been to, you done seen.
First of all, let's talk about it. Jay Messiah. Some of y'all have seen Jay Messiah, comedian, Instagram sensation, a lot of the shock videos. And he's been putting in work. We got my guy Mark Rain, who's super talented.
Yeah.
And these are all Bronx characters. There's more, and there's a lot of comedians from around the city, but mainly from
AJ too.
Shout out to Tara Canastrasi. That's a part of that. It's so many opportunities that were created from a movie like this. And y'all probably like, word? When is it coming out? Don't worry about all that. They're in production. They've already started filming. Literally.
Yo, Joe, I'm trying to be an extra. I'm trying to get my Yankee jersey on. Just be. I'm on set.
I'm on set right now with the podcast in the middle of one of the sets right now. So they'll be here filming tomorrow. So let's get this brother on. Y'all ready to bring him on? You ready? JP, you ready?
Let's do it.
Podcast. Welcome. Welcome, director and filmmaker, my guy, Mr. Macho motherfucking Miranda. What's up, bro?
What's going on, everybody? I appreciate that, guys. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, guys. JP and Tiff, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We glad to have you on. We're going to jump right into it. You created a lot of shit. I just gave the intro from working with kids. I'm serious. This motherfucker was making, like, teaching kids how to make their own zombie movies. Like literally, you've done that. You've made comedies. You've done dramas. What made you want to say, I want to make The Boogie? And also, tell the folks that don't know what The Boogie is about, but how did you come about The Boogie and that whole concept?
All right, so The Boogie movie is, for years, this Friday, there's Superbad, there's like all these teen films, but they're always in Cali. They're always like on West Coast. So growing up, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm from the Bronx. There was never really like a film out there that like encapsulated our like trials and tribulations. On our side. And if they did do it, it was always like over the top where like, grandma's like selling drugs and got a shoddy and kicking the door down. It was a little too much. So I was like, what if we did a comedy that like the youth can kind of see themselves? And like, I just wanted to make a comedy that was smart, not just a hood comedy, so to speak.
Right.
And little by little, man, I put my head together and thought of like different principles that I wanted to, different themes that we wanted to like put out. The theme of the film is breaking generational curses, like breaking the chain of our community, you know, like how like religion and education and politics kind of molds the world around us. And we're really, because of the limitations to the society, we don't even realize that like, We're like a part of this, and we're being like pushed in a specific direction as opposed to us leading ourselves. So I wanted to make a film where we showed our stereotypes, but did it in a way where we're kind of making fun of ourselves so that way people can see it, you know? So
that's comedy. That's what comedy does for you. We use comedy to kind of mirror shit, but go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
So like all of it was way back from like 2017. When we first did the first film festival, and then me and Joe started like working on the comedy festival, and I was like, all right, the film festival was really for us to meet like all the filmmakers that are in the Bronx. The comedy festival was to meet kind of all the comedians that were in the Bronx, and the poetry was because Gary Prey, shout out to Gary Prey. He just knows everybody. Yeah. So like everything that we do is to put a platform for artists, but this film in particular, I'm a filmmaker by trade, and I wanted to make something that we could all be proud of on this side.
Yeah.
So the pushing drive behind it all is not about, you know, how the saying is not what you say is how you say it. So for us, it's not what we do is how we do it. So the idea is usually when you make a film, a distribution company comes in and they'll put up the money to put the movie in all the theaters, but then they'll take 90% of all the money that's made.
Right.
Now, if we can do the same thing, but on a smaller scale. So there's 1.4 million people. We're just talking about the Bronx. So there's 1.4 million people in the Bronx. Half of that, 700,000. A quarter of that is 350,000. So if we make a film that, if we concentrate all of our marketing and all our everything towards this little corner of the world, and we get 100,000 people, you know, given that everybody that's a part of the film, the comedians, that they have their own followings, actors, the whole nine, everybody's going to come together. If we could get like 100,000 people to watch this film, whether they go to the movie theaters and the two. All right, let me bring it back. So we have a deal with the two movie theaters in the Bronx.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to have it. So that way, if you're in the Bronx or if you're in New York City, you could go to either one of these two movie theaters and you can watch it in person. Like you can watch it in the theaters. But then also, like you said before, Binge Wave. We're collaborating with them so that way everybody can watch the film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They can watch it on their phones. They can watch it on the
TV.
You can
watch it from home. That's fire.
Exactly.
That is fire.
So we're going to tour the film first in the Bronx just so we could get those stats, then go to Harlem, then go to LES, then go to Brooklyn, then go to Queens. But collectively, if the film is in the theater for a certain amount of days, then we're eligible for the Oscars. And then if we do the numbers in just New York City, and say we do get 100,000 people to watch the movie for $10, that's $1 million. If we get 10,000 people to watch the movie for $10, that's $100,000. Either way, right. When you go and speak to these platforms, Netflix, HBO, all whatnot, they're the most basic deal they could give you, or they'll give you is like $50,000. But if we made $100,000 in our backyard, you could suck my whole, like, let me not say that, but like, that conversation has to be different. You know what I'm
saying?
The leverage
is. That's a fact. Your audio, I think we lost your audio. Let me make sure I can hear you. There you go. I heard you now. There you go.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
The wife was calling me. Then. So, yeah, that conversation after the fact has to be different. And that's right. where we're trying to go, where if we're capable of doing this, it's going to be like, I kind of attribute, you know, being from the Bronx, I kind of attribute everything to like the drug game, you know, that like, if you can show that you could get this weight off or you can make this move by yourself, then imagine what you're capable of if they actually gave you money and you know, they give you the resources you need to actually do something of real substance, you know?
Right, right. So I want to get Tiff in there. I'm going to get JP back in here in a second too. Tiff, I mean, I know you want to, you know, you always got a dope intuitive question or something about movies, and I'm going to get in there. We got JP back. Go ahead, Tiff, if you want to get in there.
Let JP go first.
All right, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Yo. Hold on 1 second.
I'll start it off by saying this. You mentioned something in film about having distribution. But before you just, you know, you want to just, you know, move this movie, how do you get the money for something like that? Like, where does it start? Because I'm sure there's filmmakers that's probably going to watch this. Where do you start with finding funding for that? Like, how do you get funding for a project like that?
Well, what it really is there's so many different departments that are needed in order to make so like filmmaking, I always thought it was like the highest form of art for me, not for anybody else. And it's because it you require so many other artistic, you just need so many other like artists to come together to make it happen. You know, like you right. can make a music album by yourself. Prince did it. You know what I'm saying? There's so many other art forms that you can do by yourself. Filmmaking is not one of them. It's a complete like collaborative art form. So
super collaborative, right?
Yeah,
it is.
So what we ended up doing was every part of with our experience with the festivals, what we did was every single aspect of production that would cost us money, we found a resource that would be able to supplement that you know, that resource for us. So that way we wouldn't have to like spend the money. So like say food, you know, I have family members cooking up food for the shoot, or I have restaurant owners that I know that are giving up food, or like friends, or different friends that are giving up their apartments and letting us rock for like weeks.
Fact.
So we can shoot. But, fact. You know, that the saying is not who you know, is not what you know, is who you know. I like to take it a little step further. It's not who you know, is how you know them. And also, you know, your network is your net worth. So the more people you know, and the more people you know, like personally, that the more, you know, you'll be able to get stuff done. So I've been blessed that for years, all I've been doing is building the network. Like the festivals, even before the festivals even happened, the intent for the festivals was to build that network, just so when this moment happened, everything's already there. Everybody's already used to us. Everybody's familiar. Right. Everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So then everything will just be easier. The funding for it all really came from me saving money. I own like vending machines, so then like money from like chips and soda and stuff like
that's
that.
That's right. Y'all probably bought some chips from his machine
before. Yeah. But it really took, and that's what I mean, that this generation now, they're so like, they want things instantaneously because the access of technology changed everything.
Amen. But
being patient is really the big thing. This film, even though it feels like it happened overnight, it really is like 3-4 years in the making. So usually it takes a lot longer. But to answer that question, a little bit came from the other businesses that I had, and I was just putting money aside for this. A lot of it was just reaching out to resources in the city, in the Bronx, in New York in general.
Word.
Yeah. So that way, what would cost us, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, now this film is maybe gonna, at the end of it all, it's probably gonna cost me 50 grand. It's gonna cost me 18,000 though, just to film it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's
JP, paying the crew. Macho. Here's my thing. Sorry, y'all, for a quick technical. What I wanted to ask you, and what I think is so dope when you were talking about it with the festivals, was how you bring all of these aspects of the Bronx together. Mm-hmm. Like, you sit here and there was food, the drink. So even if you're at something that's music related or film related, you still get comedy, you still get music, you still get food, and everyone is getting a taste at everything. Like, I just want to say I appreciate your inclusiveness in all of these things, because sometimes people can be very one-track minded, and you're open to all of that. Like, what is it about that, like, that drives you to want to make sure? It's like, I always want to make sure I'm putting my people on. Just like with the people who we got in the film, it's all a bunch of people we all know from uptown that we've seen here. And it's like, yo, I'm just going to put on for my people, and this is how we moving.
What it really was is, like, me as a New York artist, I always got upset that I always had to, like, leave my city to get my work appreciated. You know, like, you have to go to the West Coast, you have to go to Manhattan, you have to go to Brooklyn, you have to go anywhere else, but then never in the Bronx. And it was so weird to me, because the Bronx, historically, is so rich with, like, artists and artistry. Like, people don't even realize that Stanley Kubrick, I don't even know if you guys know Stanley Kubrick, but
yeah.
he went to Taft High School. He directed Full Metal Jacket.
Yep. The Shining, I worked at Taft. Luther Vandross went to Taft. That's it. People don't even know that.
The other one, George A. Romero, the dude that invented zombies, is from Prospect.
Yeah.
He's from the Bronx. He went to college in Pittsburgh, and then did the Night of the Living Dead, the original, black and white. What is his name?
George
A. Romero.
Yo, Stanley. Call of Duty made Stanley, the whole zombie thing centered around George Romero. And like, Call of Duty, that's crazy. I didn't even know he was from the Bronx. That's
Stanley, what I mean. Too.
Yo, there's so much. There's so much. For some reason, we never get the respect. We never, like, it's just so crazy to me. So, like, not that I'm trying to say that the Bronx is the best borough. Because
no,
like,
it is the goddamn best borough. I'm going to say it on Instagram, Facebook, wherever y'all listening right now. Anchor FM, you know. Bronx has got this shit lit. I'm sorry.
But what I mean is that I just think it's time that we take care of ourselves, you know? So, like, if I'm going to make a platform for artists, then I have to make sure that, like, the first people through the door are people that look like me and you, that come from where we come from. So that way, if these guys... Yeah, Rita Moreno. Exactly. So that way, these artists that are up and coming, they don't have to immediately leave their home to get their work appreciated. There's a platform here, so that way it's kind of the middle ground. Yep. And then after the fact, you know, you do what you want, but I want to at least make sure that a kid from around the way, you know, that if he's working on his stuff, he can aspire to at least make it to one of our festivals, and he knows that other artists that are like-minded, that are, like, you know, that are in his field, he can then network. Because me coming up, there was no, like, now there's a Bronx Film Festival, now is like our festival, now is whatever, but before it wasn't there, you know, and it was just, I just didn't understand, man. So, like, sometimes if there's no leaders around you, you kind of have to step up and be that leader. I wasn't really prepared, but after I'm meeting, like, Joe and Gary and a couple of other artists, it was like, there was really no reason not to.
Like you said, laying the foundation, and you've been doing that. And I want to get Tiff in here now. I want to get your thoughts on it, Tiff, you know.
So I was always interested in, like, the casting aspect of it. So I wanted to know, what was your process when you were casting, even before you even knew that the film was actually coming together. Obviously, this was a vision, you know, an idea, then a vision, then you put it in motion. So, like, when just thinking about it, very, very beginning, what were you thinking when you were thinking about the cast of your project or any project that you're doing?
Awesome question. So, like, in the beginning, because I'm a writer first and foremost. So in the beginning is really like creating characters that are real. And a lot of my characters are based on like real people in my life. So that way it's just a little easier to. And after that, after like, because I know who these characters are inside and out, it was really, which was why I did the comedy festival and whatnot. It was, I needed to find people that kind of emulated those personalities, or at least even if they didn't look the part, if they can actually like carry the role, like, and just carry themselves that way.
Mm-hmm.
So then it took a few years of me like watching comedians and watching actors and then like cherry picking all of these guys. And then when it came down to the final hour when we were actually filming the movie, it really went down to like who was available. Cause a lot of the comedians, I had to recast the majority of all the main characters at the last, like right before we were shooting, because I mean these guys were
life happens.
Yeah. Like I learned the hard way
that it happened,
like,
with the celebrities. It happens with the big stars. You start off with one actor or actress and shit changes and you gotta go a different direction. But that's the beauty of staying ready so you ain't gotta get ready, because I see this talented cast that you have of comedians, funny people, just personalities. And I was saying, like, you know, but like with Tiff, like, damn, that's probably the hardest part is assembling and keeping everybody together until the entire production is finished.
I think the blessing is that everybody that's come on to the project really has taken in the weight of what this movie is going to mean to everybody and what's going to mean to the community and what's going to mean to like the art form, the everything, you know. The cast was really, I don't want to say that it was difficult because everybody's like talented, but what it really was, it was like tedious and kind of going over and kind of keeping them on track with everything, keeping them updated with dates.
Shout out to Uncle Jose. I see you got Uncle Jose. He was so goddamn hype. He was sending me clips of him on set. I said, nigga, the movie ain't done yet, nigga. Uncle was up in there getting his acting credits in there, but that's what's up. Yeah. Opportunity. So
I think all of us just want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, down to our core. So like a lot of these guys, even though they all have their own thing going,
DK, what up?
I think people are starting to realize like how important this is going to be, and everybody just wants to be a part of them. So like it's a blessing because nobody's really giving any hard times, man. It's almost amazing how, like, and it's really true, when you put it into the universe, when you like speak it into existence, and like when you really determine to move towards something, and if you stay more focused on the goal as opposed to the journey, every obstacle, it ends up, because filmmaking really is just problem solving, you know. So like yeah, man. Like,
well, it's a lot. So, go ahead, Tiff, and then Jay.
What would you say to someone, you know, an aspiring filmmaker that don't really have much experience or have all of the pieces, but want to, you know, start a film? What would you say that they need as key? You know, some people think that they can start a film and just do all improv. I don't think that you can do that unless you
just
have
the iPhone camera and you good.
Experience, trained, you know, actors that understand camera angles and, you know, people that know how to play off of each other. You can't really pull that off. That's just my opinion. I don't know. I'm not a professional, but what would you say to that filmmaker, that young filmmaker that wants to do film but don't have all of the pieces? What are the essential things that they would need to like get started?
Well, first off, I want to say that by the way, that was dope. I think focusing on the craft, like once you focus on the craft, and then you start to see how like you can substitute some of those things. Like a lot of people don't put a lot of time into like the pre-production. Like first you need script. You can't, there's like the script really is like the skeleton of the film. So unless you have like, unless you have a strong script or at least people that are working on that script, it's not, is you can have $1 million to spend on a film, and if you don't have a strong script and you don't have a strong crew that know what they're doing, then it's not going to come out right. I always tell people a film can only be fast, cheap, or beautiful. Fast, it can only be two out of the three. Fast, cheap, yep. Beautiful. So you want it fast and cheap, it's not going to be beautiful. If you want it beautiful and fast, it's not going to be cheap. So I would much rather it be beautiful and cheap. We'll take our time with it. We're going to take the whole summer to do it. But as far as the up-and-coming filmmaker, what they need is they just need an idea and a camera. You know, I started my career, I didn't have anything. You know, like I used to take my mom's like home video camera thing and make movies with my toys. I used to make my friends do like stupid short films, and it's just practicing. A lot of filmmakers, they wait. Oh, I'm going to wait till all the stars align for me to make my movie. That's a mistake. I made about over 50 shitty short films before like I learned how to do it the right way, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like comedy. Like if somebody wanted to do comedy, you really have to study the craft first. You have to study those before you. You have to study the game. You have to study how, like go to a comedy show, see how the setup is, what happens, who are the players, who find out all of that stuff.
It's true.
If you're going to get into filmmaking, it's so big and there's so many pieces involved that you have to respect the craft. You have to really go out and try to learn everything, you know? Like I'm a jack of all trades, so I can do everybody's job on set, but I'm a king of none of it. But because I know a little bit of it, I can at least communicate to that crew member like what I need from them.
Right.
And that makes my job a little easier. You know, somebody else who's just starting out, they're not worried about the craft. They're not worried about all the pieces. And they're just like, oh, I got an idea. Let's go. Even though, yes, in the beginning, that's definitely what you should do. But as you progress, definitely add people to the crew and the team. So that way there's somebody paying attention to, you know, the food. Somebody's paying attention to the camera. Somebody's paying attention to this.
You hear that, young filmmakers? You hear that?
Yeah.
You hear that, young filmmakers? Pay attention.
You cannot do it by yourself. Yeah.
It's gonna be on playback. We got him for a little more time. But make sure y'all listen to that part. More than anything you listened to that he said, he didn't have shit to get started. He just got started with an idea and the camera. But go ahead.
Yeah.
But to that point, Macho, I want to follow up with where Tim was going. Like, because you said that, and I think that was dope, like how you're a jack of all trades, but you may be a master of none. As a writer, producer, someone who I've seen in front of the camera, behind the camera, a creator, all of these things, curator, like who were some of the people in those places and spaces that influenced or inspired you to be like, you know what? I may want to take this from this person or take that from that person. Like who were some of those influences you had that were like, okay, to help you get to where you are in this space, or who inspired you to get to this space?
So there was a lot of, that was a dope question, by the way. It was a lot of different people. So like growing up, my father was a DJ. He was one of the DJs in the 70s and 80s that kind of perpetuated like hip hop, the movement of hip hop. Then he was a club owner after the fact. So as a kid, I got to see, that's where the festival stuff kind of came from, where like I got to see what it was to really put an event together, how to, you know. And a lot of that stuff kind of translate onto set because you have to be able to direct a lot of different departments at the same time. Because my whole day on set is solving problems, you know, for whatever department. Oh, we have a problem with this. We have to do this, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? And then you have to be able to get those answers. But as far as like filmmakers, influences as filmmakers, Stanley Kubrick, because he's from the Bronx and he's, dude, like this man made less than 10 films, and out of the 10 greatest movies of all time, I think three of them are like his, which
right.
is insane. He only made like 9 films, and three of them are in the top 10 greatest of all time. All right. his films are in the top 20, you know, and it's just insane. Quentin Tarantino, just because he was the master at like, yeah, he was. First off, I'm gonna say that Tarantino. He's the best at taking the best from other people. You know how it says, steal from the best and watch the rest? Like, he watched every fucking movie ever, and he just cherry-picked all the shots, the this, the that he liked from different filmmakers, and then now he's Quentin Tarantino, you know? but a lot of it too is really, remember what I said before about how, like, if there's no leaders, you have to kind of be one, you know. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be the Puerto Rican like Spike Lee or the Puerto Rican yeah. Steven Spielberg or the whatever. I want to be the first Macho Miranda.
Hell yeah, good for you, Macho.
So
I want to say this too. For those that have never been on a set, for me, it's one word, craft, and that is craft services. I love being on set. I don't know if Lou got a budget for craft services yet. Yeah. But I'm just, but
yeah, yeah.
That's the best part of being on set. When they came to that food,
like, what?
Woo! You like, well,
to be honest,
can I just get a plate to go? Let me get a plate to go out this bitch.
So, like, to be honest, a lot of indie filmmaking, a lot of these guys don't value craft services enough. You know, if you're going to have people on set for like 8, 10, 12 hours. Like, we just did 2 weeks straight.
Hold on, let me break it down, because somebody said, what the fuck is craft? Craft is
food.
It's like food, but it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, you have to feed these people.
Plus things, healthy things, not just anything.
Oh, McDonald's, I'm buying 50 McChickens.
No. And 50 Big Macs.
Yo, you go to the Spanish spot and get a thing of rice and beans and a whole chicken. Nah, it's not that. It is.
We need your ass to be up. And not bloated. You don't want nobody talking about
Coffee, all that. Everything.
Which is funny, though, because sometimes you kind of have to do it. Sometimes, like, you kind of got to go to the Spanish spot. Like, yo, let me get a big platter of rice and beans and chicken. Because you just need to feed everybody.
You got
to
get that family combo.
It's super important, though. Because imagine you on set. And you working, you sweating, and you this, blah, 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 and you're there for 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. And you're
going to
be mad. You're going to be screaming at everybody. So I make sure that because I own the vending machines, I have a shit ton of like waters and Gatorades and sodas and Powerades or whatever the hell people want.
People to snack. Yeah.
Yeah, chips and granola bars and whatever, you know. But then also, if we're starting, we do, for the boogie, we're doing 12-hour days. So we're doing 10 to 10. So that way they don't have to wake up too early and then they don't have to go home too late. But in those 12 hours, I have to feed you breakfast, like, and have coffee there. Because people start flipping out, you know, that don't have their coffee. I gotta have to give you like a solid lunch and then a
do
hot
not
dinner.
Put Tip in the movie without coffee on hand. Okay.
Yeah. No. Don't give me coffee because I'll be on the toilet. I don't need keep your coffee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't drink toilet because I get the runs. I'm trying to shit.
Oh no, I need it. I need it. 10 hours.
Unless you got me in a shot where I'm gonna be sitting on the toilet, then give me the coffee.
Right?
But so craft services, definitely, because
I want to
just doesn't look good when people are there for a long time and then they have to leave to eat.
Top five with you. I want to play top five. We still got you for a little bit. I know you grinding, you're getting ready to get back to production, but I want to do top five movies with Macho right now. And one of my favorite is horror movies. I'm a big horror movie fan, and I'm going to set the precedent. What are your top five? It could be franchises, top five horror movies, with Macho right now. Top five.
All right. A classic, because my father was a huge a horror movie buff. So I'm a big fan of The Exorcist, just because the first time that you see it, though, like, people don't realize the impact The Exorcist had back in the day. People were throwing up in the theater. People are running out of the theater. People don't realize how, like, nobody saw anything like that before. Mm-hmm. It just fucked everybody up.
Yep.
The other one was, I want to say Psycho, but like Psycho and Scream at the same time. So what Psycho did was really dope, because what Hitchcock did was he took his biggest star and then killed her within the first like five, ten minutes of the movie.
Yep.
Scream did the same thing, Drew Barrymore, right? But what's your favorite scary movie? And that will live, that is in the zeitgeist of the world forever. What is your favorite scary movie? And she died within the first 10 minutes. So, like, Psycho, Scream, kind of the same thing. What else? That was 1, 2, 3.
That's good so far. You got a good start in 3, I'll tell you that.
So, Aliens. I want to say, let's not do this.
Uncle Jose says Silence of the Lambs. That shit
I was going to say. So
that motherfucker.
Silence of the Lambs, for me, is actually in my top five movies of all time, period. Horror, any genre. Silence of the Lambs. That was Jonathan Demme was a first-time director. He was a theater director. And this was the first movie he ever did. And his first movie won the top five Oscars. Best director, best picture, best actress, best actor. What was the other one? I don't even fucking know. But what legend, the first time out the gate, you winning top five awards that you can ever get. Fucking insane. The other one that's like that is American Beauty. That dude, I forget his name, but that was the same thing. That was his first film, and then he won top five.
Okay. You got a lot of cult classics, too. You got, like, a lot of, like, cult classics and shit. Like, I'm talking, like, you got me thinking of Children Under the Stairs.
Right.
I think that was Sam Mendes, right?
Sam Mendes did a...
Yes.
So Night of the Living Dead is another one. Night of the Living Dead was dope because that was back... It was still a time where there was not segregation, but it was like black people of color couldn't do certain things in movies, right? And George A. Romero was like, man, fuck that. I'm going to make a black man the hero of the movie. The only bad thing is that he still died at the end of the movie, and they fixed it with the remake. But that was fucking dope, man. He was like the hero in the whole movie, and then in the end, like, everybody's like dying, and in the end, you're like, oh, he's gonna make it, and he gets shot through the fucking window by dudes just... I don't know. Anyway, I like old movies. These new movies, these new horror movies are horrible.
Somebody said anything Michael Myers
kind of fucked it up.
You know, Michael Myers, and I've said this on stage, this motherfucker is 50 years in the making. They haven't figured out a way to kill this motherfucker yet. Jamie Lee Curtis, I'm starting to think he's running from Jamie Lee Curtis at this point. She was 4 years old. Now she's 84 and shit. Like, I'm so serious. Y'all got to see the new movie. It's 45 years have passed. The last movie, and I'm going to give it back to y'all because I want to hear some of y'all scary movies, but this shit, you can't make this up. The last movie, she set up a whole house with her daughter, booby-trapped it, threw the motherfucker in the basement, set the house on fire. So you know how the movie starts off? The fucking fire department comes to put the fire out, and one of the firefighters is like, hey, there's somebody alive down here. Excuse me, sir, are you all right? And he kills the firefighter, and now this nigga's alive. I said, oh, God, this is some bullshit right now. Come on, man. But Tiff and Jay, what's some of y'all... favorite horror movies?
I used to like Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
Because he was just an asshole, so it was scary and it was funny. It had that humor. What else I like? Children of the Corn. Badass kids. And Pet Sematary. I liked Pet Sematary.
All of Jason's movies.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That shit was crazy.
Oh, that was crazy. Texas Chainsaw was crazy.
Yeah, and I don't really remember anything.
What about you, Jay?
I was never like a huge horror movie guy. I used to always love Chucky just for the same reason. Like this little doll just out here just
being
messing with everybody.
Word.
Like just terrorizing shit. So...
He got
everything everyone else mentioned. I mean, I rock with everything else everyone mentioned, man. Like,
all right, so let's flip it. Let's do top five comedies of all time. It doesn't matter what order. We don't have to name them in fives, but you could just throw them out there. What are some of y'all favorite comedies in the game? Just throw them out there.
I'll throw them out real quick. So, it's Dumb and Dumber. Coming to America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Step Brothers is my shit.
Harlem Nights, just because.
When they fell off the bunk bed, that was my part. When he came in the room.
No, at the job interview. Shut your mouth.
Do y'all remember I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker? One of the
original movies. Watching that the other night. It was on like Showtime or HBO. And I was like, one of them HBO, and I was, he's one person I don't think gets enough credit. If we want to talk about New York influencers, Kenan Ivory Wayans, what he did and what he means for this city and what he means for the game overall, I just think he doesn't get, just shout to him, because I don't think he gets the props and credit he deserves.
That was a classic. The movie was about... The movie was about black folks spending all their money on gold. You know, like what? Who does that? That shit was hilarious. Friday. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Jose. Shout out to Jose. Jose, Friday. Definitely.
Yep.
So the Boogie movie is really based on like Friday, Superbad. It has the storyline of
the Luis on the number,
two friends find something
Superbad
that's
so funny.
It is.
Yes.
And Bad yes. Santa. Oh my God. Bad Santa.
Yes. But have y'all seen like Talladega Nights? Shit like
oh,
that?
Yeah, my man Ricky Bobby. Come on.
That's an airplane coming back. That shit's funny as hell. Yes. But can I say, you know who brought out a lot of early comedy movies? There was two dudes and they were white. And I'm shouting them out because they revolutionized that side of comedy. Ben Stiller and Adam Sandler. A lot of their early movies were fucking grown-ups. I mean, grown-ups?
Jim Carrey, of course.
Jim Carrey paved the way too, also with like The Mask, Me, Myself, and Irene.
The physical comedy, yeah.
Right. The like physical just, stuff. Because you got to remember, he was doing that physical stuff on In Living Color.
Yes.
Which then got him into Ace Ventura.
Yep.
Which put him on that platform to get to Ace Ventura.
Well, listen, we gotta get Lou out of here. Appreciate you, man. Tell him how, you know, when do you think the movie's gonna be ready? This is the time. Where can they find information? And also, talk to us about the comedy fundraiser that we're gonna be starting to help fundraise the stuff for the movie. So you might as well talk about that.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, where should I start? All right, so we're gonna finish. It's gonna take us the rest of the summer to finish principal photography. So we're gonna go into be creeping into September. As far as like principal, like actual production, we're gonna take a whole year to edit everything because people don't realize how much editing takes place. And then me, I like to sound design, so I like to record audio on. Nobody does this, but I like to record audio just for reference, and then I recreate audio after the fact. It's super tedious. Wow. And nobody likes doing this, but I actually love creating all like sound effects and everything that because I want full control. Full control of that screen. Everything that you see, everything that you hear, has to be there on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
Boom. The film is not going to be released until the summer of 2022. So next year, that's when we'll around March. We'll start putting it out. You start seeing the posters. We're trying to get the movie poster on a bus in the Bronx. So the bus is just going back and forth all day long.
Fire. Everybody,
imagine seeing that on a 36 bus, like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Not the 36 bus, JP.
You know, you run through the whole Bronx.
That's that shit that motherfuckers don't be paying for. They just hop in the back.
Hop right on the back, and you gonna do the whole body.
I need for real. People to notice the poster before they hop that bus though. Like, oh shit, yeah. The Boogie movie. Yeah, get on this. All right, and to find me, so there's a few different IGs. So for my personal is the Macho Miranda at the Macho Miranda. For the Concourse Art Foundation is Concourse Art Foundation altogether, and then for the film festival is Concourse Film Fest. Concourse Comedy Fest, Concourse Poetry Fest, and then Concourse Food Fest. The Food Fest, we haven't put out yet, but the IG is already there. But the most important, I guess, is the Boogie Movie, at the Boogie Movie on IG. Oh. So soon, we're going to be doing a comedy show / fundraiser. And what we're going to do is all the comedians that are associated with the film, we're going to do a comedy show with them.
That's fire.
Do the comedy show first, and then after the comedy show, you can either stay for the after party and hang out. But after the comedy show is going to be a fundraiser, so we're going to have raffles, we're going to have vendors, we're going to have like live performances of like poetry, music, the whole nine. Dealing with you, Joe, like being around you, I realized the importance of just putting on a good show. Not so much like a lot of people get into like the logistics, and then the logistics will be good, but then the show is shitty, boring. I would much rather. Like behind the scenes, everything kind of feel like it's all over the place, but everybody that's there.
Somebody said you got to put the banner on the BX1.
Yeah, go up the whole Concourse. Oh, I know the buses to go. You got to go up the Concourse, go across Tremont.
Nah, that's a fact.
August, because now we're about to hit August now. In the third week of August,
there it is.
That's when we're going to do the comedy show. look out for it, guys. We're going to have a crowdfunding link that we're going to start sharing with everybody. We're going to have a lot of dope prizes. We're going to have some, like, if you put up $100, you could be an extra in the movie. So that way, ooh, as opposed to having a bunch of random people the whole nine, now we have, it's controlled and it's intentional. You know what I'm saying? So if you put $100,
you get a movie credit for $100.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. So
that's smart.
Kill two birds with one stone.
I've never heard that shit before, but that's smart.
Right. I ain't never heard that either. To be in the movie, usually you're trying to get in the movie and they pay you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, all it is really is when making a movie, all the money really goes into, like, the crew, equipment, food, location, like, the logistical stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have to make sure that you raise money any chance that you get, you know? Like, I'll sell my ass if it means that I need a...
You're not selling your ass.
No. Before you go, we're going to talk offline, but I know somebody, I know some grant writers and places and ways in which, so we're going to talk offline about that.
Jackie Joe knows. I know somebody that
want to
buy some of that ass.
Nah.
I'm like, wait a minute, Jackie. You know every fucking body. I'm sorry.
Her name is Ethel or Rose. They write Ethel or Rose. Oh God!
Talk to me like a month and a half, and you're the
Seriously, he's not selling ass. One, seriously,
no.
And crowdfunding is for real. Pay attention to the comedy shows, the fundraising events, any type of pop up events that they're doing for the Boogie, because it's going to take a village. And when that premiere comes out, don't be trying to line up on that red carpet if you ain't put. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't helped with getting this movie out, so that's really what it is. So, go ahead, Luke.
With that premiere, we're definitely going to show a lot of love to everybody. We want to make sure everybody feels this. Everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to premiere it. Also, we have a deal with the theater in 16, because there's only two movie theaters in the Bronx. So the one in 161 and Bay Plaza. So we're going to do the Bay Plaza. But
you definitely.
Nice.
We're going to Bay Plaza in a minute. Oh, that's memories.
That's what I mean. Whitestone, man. The last Whitestone is gone, bro. Like,
you know, Bay Plaza, you know, Whitestone movie theater back in the day. That was the spot we took our little dates to the movie theater. That was the movie theater in the back of the highway. You know what I'm saying? Like near Zarega Avenue. But then you was dealing with girls and the two fares earned. You're like, damn, she got to take a bus and a train to get to her house? I ain't going over there. I ain't doing all that. Like,
But thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yo, thank you for coming on. Give him some flowers right now. He's doing some amazing work. Follow him. The whole family checking in. Appreciate everybody. Make sure y'all go to the website CAFNYC.org for more info on everything that is Concourse, film, food, comedy, all that shit. And then go to the Boogie Movie at the Boogie Movie on Facebook and IG. That way you can, you know, see what's going on, get involved. So yo, bro, I appreciate you. I'm gonna let you get out of here. One more time for Macho Miranda, y'all. Show him some love. Show him some love.
Now, look out for us, because I'm gonna have these actors on News 12 and Bronx and 611 and the whole nine. So, like, look out for that. I'm trying to get these.
Well, we'll bring you back on, man. Maybe we could do like a Boogie after party, or not an after party, but a Boogie takeover on the App Store podcast, where we get all the cast members to come on.
I would love that.
You know, the process, you know, how they, you know, and their journey through helping you with this movie. So I think that'll be dope for the fans. Yeah,
too.
So,
well, I appreciate you guys. I just want to say that you guys are dope as shit, just so you know.
Like, appreciate that.
We're coming for the Breakfast Club's fucking spot.
Yes.
You better believe it.
Let them know you're coming for the spot, you know?
Word. So, but I appreciate you.
Respect everybody. Have a good night.
I'll see you tomorrow. You already know.
Appreciate you, Macho.
Bye.
Later.
God bless us.
I'm telling you, the power of opportunity, man. This brother is giving the voiceless a voice, a place and platform to be seen and heard. How do I know that? He's giving me a platform to curate comedy in the Bronx. And don't worry, the Concourse Comedy Festival is coming back, but that film is going to be popping. I'm trying to tell you. And I can't wait to throw on something and smell good and go watch it. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So
just to walk a red carpet. But
and then look, we should do a live, the reunion with the cast What the fuck is past?
We should.
To a panel. Yeah.
Listen, put JP in the audience for the you know, the anchor and the questions from the audience. Me and Tiff will be stationed on stage. But I just think that'll be dope. I think we could do something.
That would be great. That would be great.
I would love that.
We'll definitely shout out to Macho Man and everything.
Yeah,
he's going for the culture of the Bronx.
Yeah.
How y'all feeling about yo Tiff? You seen? I know you got some bullshit that's been going on.
Man,
you want to up? What you want to update us on?
Janky ass mechanics. That's some bullshit.
Well, let me set it up for you, Tiff. The update. If you listened last week, Tiff was getting her car fixed, and she didn't go to your standard Midas, AMCO, whatever you call that place where to go. She went to her local mechanic by the name of Pascal, and that didn't work out. So, what's the update? Is the car fixed? And have is there any reports for him missing yet? Because you was hot when you was texting.
I was pretty fucking hot, okay? But he's not missing. He's where he's supposed to be, I guess. I told him to go to hell, though. I did tell him that. I was like, and you go to hell. So, man, I got the car fixed, then broke my car. Then I took it back.
Did you say he fixed broke my car?
He fixed broke my car. My car went in with one complaint. I drove the car off after he had the shit for like 4 days. Go pick up the car, drove it for 5 minutes. My car just shuts down on the highway. I was on highway for an hour. His tow truck guy came and picked me up. I brought the car over there to the shop. So I'm like, all right, I'm ready to curse this motherfucker out. But I said, I'm going to be calm and I'm going to just let them do what they got to do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm letting them. You know how you tap on your TV back in the days to get the reception? They just tapping on the fucking car for like 2.5 hours. So I'm like, I'm sitting in the car with Layla. I'm like, Layla, I can't take this shit no more. I'm gonna go
crazy. I'm both dressed.
Go crazy. So I get out the car. I was like, all right, so how long are we gonna tap on this car? Okay, you've been tapping on this car for about 2.5 hours. What's going on? So he goes and gets some spray, and he about to spray some spray in the car. So I'm like, well, what's that spray? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you everything I do. I said, you're not going to tell me everything you're doing. And I lost it. I turned into a fucking DMX. I lost it. I lost it. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? You're not gonna tell me what the fuck you talking. Then, he walked away. It was just a whole fiasco.
Not Pascal.
And then Poppy was like, I do this for 25 years. I said, well, what year did you stop giving a fuck? Ain't shit working.
Well, out of that 25 years, when did you stop giving a fuck? Please let me know. Because clearly.
So one young Puerto Rican guy, he kept on working on a car. Come to find out, all you had to fucking do was unplug the battery and plug it back in.
And reset the program.
And reset the program. So I'm like, use one stupid motherfucker. So out of the 25 years, you didn't realize you had to unplug the fucking battery. So I sat here for 2.5 hours after waiting 4 days, getting stuck on the highway. I sat here for 2.5 hours. And your 25 years of experience, not figure out to unplug the battery. So that's
you can't some make
bullshit.
This shit up.
Wow.
That's some bullshit.
Ain't this some bullshit with Tiff? That's what
he told me. He told me.
Part two, folks, by the way.
This is Saturday. He said, this is not going to get fixed today. This is gonna come on Monday. I said, you got me fucked up. This car is not gonna get
you got me fucked all the way up.
He got me fucked up. The Puerto Rican guy was like, all right, she ain't fucking around. So let me try to figure it out. And it was in limp mode. He unplugged it, but I got my shit out of there. Fuck Pascal. I told the Puerto Rican guy, I said, I know I was a bit much beside myself, and that's probably hard to handle. I thank you for your patience and your diligence. But you, motherfucker, you can go to hell. And I went
goodbye, Pascal.
So fuck Pascal. But guess what? My CV joint was broke when I took it to my mechanic.
Oh.
So they broke something on my car.
Wow.
Oh man.
Either they broke something on my car or the tow truck did it. I don't know who did it, but that cost me another $200.
You know, now that you mention that, I wouldn't be surprised if the tow truck, if Pascal is the one who sent the tow truck.
He sent the tow truck.
You know, them niggas try to line you up and be like, I just sent this one out. But you know, you tap, you give this thing a little love tap, the way they was tapping on the shit for 3 hours, I may be able to get a couple extra $100 out of her that she don't know.
Remember the episode on Martin when Tracy Morgan took Martin's tires? And the nigga tried to sell his tires back to Martin. Like, nigga.
Yeah,
that's
what
they did to me, JP.
Man.
He was selling him. Wait, he started by selling Gina flowers and came by later dressed as the mechanic. Nigga, like, oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a nightmare, but then the car.
So is the car fixed? Is it, what is the official update on the car?
$1,300 later.
Ah.
The car is fixed.
Ugh. So damn.
I was going to say, drop your Cash App. Drop your Cash App in the comments if you want to donate
to that
$1,300 or just reach out to her. Cash App her a little $5.
Yeah, we got to help offset that.
Buy her oxtail dinner, at least. Oh man.
Yeah.
Yo, wow. Jay.
That's some bullshit. Janky ass. McKinney.
That's how you know we need a good pro tip after that. We need a good pro tip.
Please, ladies. JP, add this in. Ladies, go to the mechanic. Just find a random nigga. Borrow a nigga off the street. The biggest, most serious looking nigga. And be like, come on.
Just look to that shit.
Come with me. Just
yo. That's real. That's real. I just want to sit here and say this, man.
At the start of the show,
we're going to get right into this pro tip quickly, man. At the start of the show, I talked about how I lost my boy, unfortunately, again. Rest in peace, Steve. I just want to tell everybody, you know, a lot of people have lost loved ones a lot of different ways. Let's remain to stay encouraged. So my pro tip is real simple. Smile often. Think positively. Give thanks. Laugh loudly. Love others. And dream big. You saw what Macho did with his dream. You see with the positive energy that we give you every week, how it makes a difference. We laugh, we love, we smile even through the bullshit. And we still gonna be all right. So just remember that. Smile often, think positive, give thanks, laugh loud, love others, and dream big.
And enjoy your time because life ain't promised.
Right.
I had to follow that, you know, pro tip.
You right, yo, you right.
And that's what I'm saying. This weekend, what better way to get your ass out the crib? That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it back. Come on, man. We got a lot happening this weekend. Join us at the Triad Theater this Saturday night. That's right. This Saturday night, we got an industry comedy series. And it's not like your typical industry series. 8 comedians got 10 minutes each. To bring their best. Now, here's the catch. Here's the kicker. Sprinkled in the audience, there's different bookers, producers, and content creators looking for new talent.
Oh.
I said, why not merge the two and blend them in? So, yes, imagine you going up on stage and you not knowing, like, damn, this could be. I'm not saying it might land you a role on ABC, but it's going to be an opportunity for you to do something in the field that you're already in, this comedy, whether it's stand up, getting a feature spot. Getting a headliner spot. Who knows? Somebody may book you for their show. But I've been working on this plan for the last 2 months. And our first show, that's right, our first show is this Saturday night, 9:30 at the Triad Theater on the Upper West Side, 72nd Street. Pull up on me if you're trying to come. Inbox me. I got a couple free tickets left. If you're trying to come out this Saturday to this industry comedy show, Kay Smith, Cousin Paul, Whitney Clark, Ishmael Gaynor, Kate Roberts, Brittany Brave, all these comics are bringing their best 10 minutes and one of the livest theaters out right now. You can talk about comedy clubs, but if you ain't been to one of my comedy shows at the Triad Theater, then you're playing yourself. So
you are.
Let me know. I got a few free tickets left. After that, you got to get them at the door. So hit me. DM me. What else? What y'all got going on this weekend? What you got going on, Tiff?
Chilling.
On the road again.
Hey, Dipset versus.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I believe it falls on the same time as we are. Am I right? Let me just check the calendar. Let me check. No, it's not. It's not. It is actually.
On Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. That wasn't a bad idea, though. But the problem is when we put this on Facebook, I guess they'll probably flag us as a video or something like that. But
yeah,
we all got Dipset versus the Locks this Tuesday, and it's at Madison Square Garden.
I got the Locks.
Why you got the Locks? Tell us why you got the Locks, Tiff.
Jack and Devon,
what up?
Hold on 1 second.
I just really never liked Cameron. Like when you really, maybe the first album was cool, but everything else was like, what is he talking about?
Right.
Like, he's just saying anything that rhymes. He just don't give a fuck. So,
Green. You sound like my mom. My mom said the same thing. He talk like he don't care.
He don't give a fuck. Like, what are you talking about? He said in one verse, Listerine, green, clean. I said, all right, that's it for him. I'm done with his dumb ass. So I got the Locks.
So you got the Locks. Any reason why you have the Locks? Outside of the fact that you don't give a shit about Cameron, what is specifically that you like? Is that what's your favorite Lock song or maybe Jadakiss song? Or you gotta,
I don't have a favorite song. I'm just saying I just got the Locks just because.
I ain't got time to tell you which song is gonna do it, but I'm gonna tell you that the Locks got it. Here's my synopsis on it. Dipset being the, because, don't get me wrong, the Locks, Jadakiss, Styles P, Sheek, some of the baddest MCs, them three right there, they will go down in history as some of the top 10, maybe 20 MCs that ever spit on the mic. Now, if we talking vibe, if we're talking hits, if we're talking New York City, then I'm going with Dipset all day. Jewels, Jim Jones. Listen, my crew and I wanted to be Dipset when we was in high school. That's how real it was. Like,
so don't give me. You wanted to be.
I'm going with Dipset. Still to this day, their double album "Diplomatic Immunity" by far, the red CD and the blue CD is one of my favorite. I still have the shit. But no hits, and how it works. They're gonna play 20 songs, and I believe JP. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do the rules. It has to be a song with all three of them, is it?
I don't think so. I think it could be
just a record with
one. A record with any member.
That's where it's going to get interesting.
That's where it gets very interesting. But I'm going to show you where my alliance is.
Let's go.
You know the vibe. You know your boy. Shout to my OG, my guy, Duke the God.
You know.
Big Uptown Energy.
Shout out to Rucker Park, Harlem.
Everybody used to be up at King Dome. You know what it is. Old school official.
I played a couple tournaments at King Dome. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
Dipset mixtape. You wasn't outside if you ain't have this patch on the shirt.
JB got the official diplomatic immunity. That shit came
You wasn't
outfit.
Really outside if you ain't had this outside patch. If you
got the official. He got the stamp on the back. I'm trying to tell you, that's not a replica.
I'm gonna say y'all might be right, but I'm still gonna be biased.
Okay. But I'm gonna tell you this much though. The Locks, what people don't realize is that they got so like Jada, they the cheat code. Cause the Locks got songs with Biggie.
They definitely do.
And the Locks got songs with DMX.
That's a fact. Well, so, first of all, the Lock songs with DMX, like you said, like, look, 24 Hours to Live, Money, Power, Respect.
Yes!
Like,
those is going to be... That's those is, when you get to that, you get the Victory, all
Reservoir
Dogs.
When you get the Reservoir Dogs, like,
I'm not even going to take away from the fact that, like...
Just play Welcome to New York City and it's over. Cameron, Jay-Z...
But it's gonna be fun, and I think it's amazing.
It's gonna be really interesting. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be fun because we need that, and I think this is something that the city needs.
And it's in the garden. It's in the garden.
Everybody who grew up in that time.
So it's gonna be right. Really, yeah. Really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they just and you realize that they all just having fun. Like it's all gonna be jokes and shit talk, and a lot of energy from an era that we all grew up in.
Yeah.
Facts. Facts.
So you're going so I think it's gonna be so much fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's gonna be
I'm looking forward to sitting down with a drink. This one in particular, I've watched a lot of verses and you connect with a certain artist or certain songs, you know. And I'm not even gonna hold y'all. The Keisha Cole Ashanti one, that one hit a nerve because it took me back to my partying days when their songs was fire in the club, when they had hits.
Yo.
So it really, and even the Izzy Brothers one, Earth, Wind, and Fire, you singing. But this one?
Yeah.
I might be standing up in the living room like I'm at the fucking garden.
Yo.
Yeah, I think this is going to bring a lot of energy.
Yeah, man. My guy, hey, Dowdy, what up?
Highly anticipated is right, Tiff. That's the perfect way to say it. I think everyone's looking forward to it. I'm glad they did it on a Tuesday
so we can have our show.
There's no competition with nothing. This is going to be the only thing moving.
Tuesday night, Dipset versus the Lock. I'm going to put it on the screen.
It's not going to be any weird energy like with Jeezy and Gucci and Monica and Brandy. It kind of killed my vibe because it was like, damn, this energy is weird.
But Tiff, one thing I'll say about the Gucci drink, when they squashed that shit, mm-hmm. Didn't that shit kind of bring it back? Like, you know what? It was worth it. But it did blow the vibe.
But but the animosity was there, like you said, Tiff. That tension, you could cut that tension. You need a fucking steak knife. It was heavy. Like you could. Yep. And Gucci was still like taking shots, like real shots.
But they don't have no real.
If these niggas shoot up a versus battle. God damn it. We can't have nothing.
Somebody said Harlem ain't that big. 914 is bigger than Harlem. But I said, let me tell you something. Spanish Harlem is going to come out. East Harlem, West Harlem, South Harlem, everywhere.
The Harlem, South Bronx might go
wrong. The Bronx is coming out.
But wait. Everything north of Gun Hill Road.
The Heights is coming. Nigga, it's over.
But I tell you this much, though, Joe.
Upstate, too, because they don't know nothing else but
Cameron, a lot of them fought, but that's I think that's where it's going to be interesting to see the reactions of the songs in the stadium when the song hits.
Because it's going to be so authentic to everyone sitting there because you never know what's coming next. So it's like now you're sitting here, like if you're sitting there or you're watching, that's going to be the dopest part. What do they lead with?
Can I say
this? We play this.
If they play this,
come up with this.
Listen, if they play this,
Apple give you the cheat. They give you the cheat sheet.
Well, just the music that could be there, but they don't say like when it's gonna be played.
If they play this, but you know they gonna play this. You know they gonna play this. First of all, I'm being biased. Let me stop. I'm being biased.
Now, if you was to sit here and put on Knock Yourself Out with that. Like, come on. She said she was a model. Yo, everybody going to lose it.
It's just going to be a good time.
It definitely is.
It has to be a winner, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I think we the winners because we get to see it.
It's a celebration. We get to pay homage to these dope groups. But if you look at it, in these groups, out of all the groups, they're intricate. They're actually individuals put together to make a group because they all individually have had successful music careers. Even Jim Jones from Ballin' Summer. When he dropped Summer in Miami, I was like, oh, yeah. He's career. Ballin', Jim Jones surprised me the most. Jewel was locked up. So, you know, he had other personal issues going on.
But you got to realize, Juelz had all those sneaky verses on them features.
Yes,
Chris Brown.
Mm-hmm. Him and Lil Wayne. Okay. Remember, that mixtape, that him and Wayne stuff?
Yeah.
That's a whole nother different cheat code that we get a lot of people.
I went to Styles P album release party, A Gangster and a Gentleman, back in the day, and I got to hang out with him. That I get hi. That was a cult classic. Still, Cheeks got a couple of albums that I was bumping in high school. So I'm not even gonna hold you, but Jadakiss, knock yourself out.
It's sold out, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
it sold out in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
God damn. How much were the tickets for?
They was
almost. Listen, like Kanye West sold out the, and I'll bring it back. Kanye just damn near did the same thing, but he wasn't even performing. He just walked around for 2 hours with a pantyhose stocking over his face. But
but why is Tiff? Because we talked about it right at the start before you popped in. I want your opinion on it. Why are people so loyal to him?
To Kanye?
Yes.
Well, hold on. Time out. Some of the old Kanye's music, we all are.
Wait. But I'm saying in spite of everything, what we've just seen, why are people still so like...
Because he's unpredictable and he's someone that you can love to hate. It's just like...
It's the unknown.
It's like, all right, you're the asshole in the family, but you know what? You so dope.
Right.
That's just Kanye. Like,
yeah.
And he's so authentically him. If he changed his mind tomorrow, he's gonna say, fuck it. That's how I felt yesterday.
Somebody said, do that. I get high. that shit was fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just, it is what it is with him, and he don't care. He doesn't care.
So y'all got Instagram, y'all got Dipset, or y'all got the Locks. Let us know. Drop it in the comment on Facebook. Let us know who y'all got. That's it, man. You know, it was a hell of a show. I'm looking forward to coming on next week and talking about Dipset. And but it was a great episode. Shout out to Tiff for coming through. Shout out to my guy, Macho Miranda, coming on. Make sure y'all go out there and support the Boogie Movie. It's coming. You know, it's coming. Gotta support the Bronx. So on that note, appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm gonna go ahead and end this. You know, why not? I'm ready. It's Tuesday. All right, you already know who I'm rooting for. This has been the At the Door podcast with Tiff Tonto, JP, and your boy Joe Hill. We're going to see y'all next Wednesday, and we're going to talk about this shit. Dipset all day. Y'all be safe. Y'all be well. We out of here.
Good night.
No keys, lock me in this corner for the long run.